listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I said at the beginning, I'm going to be looking at the first lesson from the book of Acts that Mary read earlier, the vision that Peter has. Peter was very clear in his understanding of what the right thing is to do. He's known it his whole life. Peter was raised by good, observant Jewish parents, and Peter himself observed the Jewish laws, particularly the dietary, customary laws. He has been, for the most part, a good Jew. He has eaten in good Jewish ways and lived in good Jewish ways, which is making distinctions appropriately throughout his life, things that set him apart as a Jew from the rest of the culture. And then he meets a Jewish rabbi named Jesus, and he continues to practice the Jewish customs and rituals. Remember, the Passover was a Jewish meal. The Pentecost was a Jewish time. Even after the resurrection occurs, Peter was Jewish. Even as he followed and preached and healed in the name of Jesus, the name Christian had really not emerged. Peter still understood himself to be Jewish, just as Jesus understood himself to be Jewish. And that meant practicing certain rules and customs that set Jews apart from the rest of the culture. Interesting to stop and think about what rules and customs set you, set us apart from the rest of the culture. It might be different for different ones of us, but how are we set apart? What do we do that set us apart? I was thinking about maybe prayers at meals, maybe tithing, maybe going to church on Sunday or putting ashes on our head on Ash Wednesday. Maybe it's practicing nonviolence in the midst of a violent culture. Can't tell you how many times our son wants to play these different video games, and well, everybody's doing it, and we say, well, in our house, we're not going to do that. Well, it's hard to understand that. It's hard to set ourselves apart and just say, in our house, we're going to do it differently. For Peter, eating certain foods was forbidden. It was unclean. It was profane. It was against the Jewish laws. For by eating these different kinds of unclean foods, it was a representation of the wiping away of all those distinctions, all those things that set Jews apart. It represented this blending, an unclean blending and mixing with the culture of the day. I love how the Jews of Peter's day and today as well pay close attention to what they put into their bodies. Not just, or maybe not at all, as a matter of health, but as a matter of religious practice. It's important we put into our bodies, Jews of Peter's day and today would say. It was all about making distinctions between Jews and Gentiles, between us and them. And Peter was good and observant. He was keeping the law. He always had. Imagine doing something or believing something in one way, in the same way, your whole life. That's how Peter had practiced. His whole life he had done it the same way. How old do you think Peter was? We don't know exactly. Maybe he was 35. Maybe he was 55. Maybe he was 85. We don't know. But he's been doing this the same way all these years. That's a little bit of background before our text for today. Acts picks up when the apostles and the believers, the other insiders, call Peter out in the text for today. They say, Peter, we've heard that you've been going to and talking to and mingling with and dining with Gentiles. What is going on? You know what the law is. What is going on? And so Peter shares what's happened to him, that he has had a vision from God. What do you think those disciples and apostles must have thought when he told them that? I had a vision from God. And he describes the sheet that he saw, and on top of this sheet were all these different animals, the San Diego Zoo, on top of this sheet, and it comes down, and God says to him, eat any one of those animals. He says, Lord, I can't do that. I'm not going to put those other unclean animals in my mouth. And God says, eat any one of those animals. Everything that Peter had always thought was being shattered in this vision. Pay attention to your dreams and your visions. Some authors and scholars believe this is God's way of getting through to us. Many of us might believe that. God talks to us through dreams and visions. Maybe you've had some. Maybe you've had some that have changed everything. Changed the way that you thought about something. Last summer, as you may remember, I was with Marcus here and a group of three other young people, and we went to confirmation camp up at El Camino Pines. Kind of sad we don't have a group this year to go to confirmation camp. Love going to confirmation camp. I hope Marcus had a good time and the others. We were with Wes Papike and Sophia Taylor and Jake Ziegler, all 8th graders or 9th graders going in to high school. Confirmation camp, as you probably know, is a great chance for me to minister alongside with other wonderful professional church workers, great youth directors. We get to meet and mingle other pastors. We teach side by side in the mornings because there's a curriculum. And then in the afternoon, while the kids are doing all the fun camp stuff, we get to kind of plan for the next day and socialize and relax a little bit. I love it, especially as a chance to get to know some older seasoned pastors who have been around for a lot of years. Wonderful, wonderful people. It's a rare experience to get away, to relax a little bit, to share and enjoy God's creation. So last summer, we're away at confirmation camp. It was a great week. And I got to know a pastor who I had met once or twice before, but I didn't really know him that well, except that he was one of my best friend's pastors growing up in Salinas, California. His name is Wendell Brown. And I'd always heard my friend Brian talk about how wonderful Wendell Brown is, and I never questioned that. I knew those stories, how much he loved the church and how much the people of the church loved him. They did things kind of the old-fashioned way, where there's the pastor, and then the pastor's wife is the music director, and so she would lead the choir, and together they just shared this great love for music, and they led for years and years. They also had a passion for youth and youth ministry. And he cared for kids, and Brian had such a great upbringing because this pastor, Wendell Brown, was just so wonderful and taken such good care of him. I understand now that Wendell Brown is retired, but last summer when I was with him, he was serving at Pope Lutheran Church in Atascadero, which is on the Central Coast. Maybe you've been there. It's a beautiful area, I understand. And he and I just got paired together, not for any particular reason. The counselors make the decisions, and they just said, you guys are the pastor's teaching staff, and so we were going to work with the counselors, and so we would spend some time together talking about the lessons for the week, and then we'd work on those lessons, and then we'd play with the kids, and we got to visit a lot, too. And one afternoon, Pastor Wendell Brown and I were playing ping pong in the camp cafeteria between meals. And we were talking, and it was a quiet afternoon for whatever reason, so we had some time. And as we were talking about our congregations and our different experiences, at some point, I simply asked Pastor Brown why he had moved from Salinas to this new church down in Atascadero. Basic chit-chat question, right? Why'd you move? He responds to me, well, God gave me a vision. This old-time Lutheran pastor, solid head on his shoulders, solid credentials, a life of wonderful ministry. I'm sure this congregation and any congregation would love Pastor Brown up to this point. But he had had a vision. He wasn't ashamed to share it. He shared it plainly that he had had this vision, that it was from God, and that it had changed everything. This dear man's credibility is getting a little bit crumbly for me at this point, to be honest. But my intrigue and my interest is solid as a rock. And I'm going, I got to hear this story. So what happened? And by the way, he gave me permission to share this story. Apparently, Pastor Wendell Brown was not beloved by everyone in his synod up in Northern California. The synod is called Sierra Pacific Synod. It's basically north of Santa Barbara, all the way up to the California border. So basically all of Central and Northern California. And apparently he has not been loved by everyone in that synod over the past 30-some-odd years. I had no idea. But Wendell Brown was a name at their synod assemblies that everyone knew meant staunchly anti-gay. When conversation came on the synod assembly floor, we've got our synod assembly this week, so I'm thinking about synod assemblies. And over the years, there have been some very embittered conversations on the synod assembly floors. And when conversation came to the synod assembly floor over issues of gay and lesbian pastors being in monogamous relationships and continuing to lead in their congregations, you could be assured that Pastor Wendell Brown was the name at the fore in the Sierra Pacific Synod. He was the one at the microphone, often with tears in his eyes, rolling down his cheeks, and a Bible in his hand, saying that if we accept gay and lesbian pastors into our churches, we are breaking with the Bible and breaking with God. He had the passion and the certitude of Peter and Paul combined. He had the Bible study clear in his mind. He had certain verses set in stone in his heart. He could recite them backwards and forwards. He had the majority of the people at that time on his side. He was a champion and a warrior, and he wasn't about to sit back and let his church go down this road. I actually know a gay pastor up in the Bay Area, and I've since asked him about Wendell Brown. And he shudders just at the thought of that man and what he stood for years ago at those assemblies. They actually went head-to-head several times, just from the microphones. But a couple years ago, Wendell Brown tells me, he went away on a retreat, just he and his wife, up to the mountains somewhere in Northern California. And he just brought a bunch of books, and he brought the Bible, and he started reading the Bible, he says. This man knows the Bible backwards and forwards, but he started reading the Bible, and he started reading Acts, and he started reading this chapter that we have read this day, that Mary read about Peter's vision and this cloth being let down, and something started to shake him, as he says, at his very core. And he had a vision, and he was sure that it was from God. And I wish I could tell you what that vision was. I don't remember. I've been trying to contact him actually this week to ask, what was that vision exactly? I've been trying to get what exactly the vision is, but what I do remember is what he told me about how he reacted to this vision. He said he just started weeping and weeping and weeping. Maybe you've had experiences like this. They don't come along often, that's for sure. But he was there and his wife was going, what's going on? He wasn't sleeping at night. He was crying and he was crying. This is a good, you have to understand, this is a good old stoic German Lutheran man. And he is literally melting down before God. He's looking back at all the things that he's said and done and he's questioning it all. He's looking back at Scripture and seeing it in this whole new way. He's feeling called to go back to his dear congregation in Salinas and tell them what has happened to him. That he's been wrong about his stance on gay and lesbian pastors and gay and lesbian people. He has had this vision from God, and now he has to go back and tell his congregation, no matter what it costs him. What do you think happened? Needless to say, Pastor Wendell Brown loses all kinds of support back at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Salinas. People had actually joined that church because of his previous stance, and now he was saying something different because, quote, he had a vision from God. You can just imagine the undoing, the hurt, the pain, the fallout, both for him and for the congregation. Trust is being broken. But he had no doubt in his mind that this is what he had to do. We're just playing ping pong, by the way, this whole time as he's telling me this. He ended up being edged out of that congregation which he had served for almost 20 years. Some say it's because of that. Others say, oh, well, they found some other things and they weren't sure. But he's no longer there. I understand that there was a beautiful exchange that took place at the ordination reception of my friend Brian, where both Pastor Wendell Brown and Brian's uncle, who was the gay pastor, who used to go head-to-head with him at the microphone. They were both at that ordination. One was family. The other was the dear pastor that raised Brian. They both came to his ordination. And there they were in the church fellowship hall at the reception, having cake and lemonade and coffee. And Pastor Brown goes over to Howard, who's no longer a pastor in the ELCA. He was kicked out of the ELCA. Pastor Brown comes up to Howard and he says, "Do you remember me?" Howard says, "Pastor Wendell Brown." They reach out hands and they shake hands. He says, "Do you remember me?" He said, "I do." Pastor Wendell Brown says, "I had a vision and I am so sorry. And I want you to know that I'm with you now. And I think of this image on the cover of our, I have the bulletin with me, but this image on the cover of the bulletin." They didn't embrace quite like that, I understand, but they did shake hands. And they did have this time of reconciliation. A visual of Jesus' command that we love one another. I've never heard a story quite like that. I've heard of different conversion experiences. I had one, but I was in college. You know, I hadn't lived all these years. Pastor Wendell Brown is in his 60s or even 70s now. I hadn't ever heard a story quite like that, and I wanted to share it with you this day. I leave it to you to determine whether this vision came from God or from somewhere else, this thing that happened to Pastor Wendell Brown. Personally, I find this to be a modern-day parallel to Peter's vision. Only on a much smaller scale, actually, because our contemporary controversies around sexuality pale in comparison with what Paul and Peter were dealing with, the Jew-Gentile issues with which the apostles were dealing with. Still, sisters and brothers in Christ, know that the Holy Spirit is still working in our lives. We have been baptized by that Holy Spirit. Pay attention to your dreams and your visions, for God's Holy Spirit can work through those, even the scary ones, to tell us things. Know that God is still speaking in our lives and that it's never too late. This is our God, a God who shakes down the law with the gospel. A God whose cup of grace never runs dry, who never ceases to surprise us. A God who makes us new. Who makes all things new, day after day, regardless of our age or our convictions. A God who carries us through our darkest days, who forgives our past iniquities and lifts us up, baptized by the Holy Spirit, to be the people that we are called, blessed, baptized, and sent out to be for this world, in this world. That's the God who invites us to this table this day. And who goes with us now and always, always. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.